You want to kick it off, or you want me to do the honors?
I mean, I can, because are you going to go into the first thing with, like, the changes and the tiebreakers?
Yeah, if you want to do kick it off, like, mention something, like, you know, about the new intro kind of thing, and real quick, so you can just plug him real quick as we start. Dude, I love that beat with the – his music's good, man. We were listening to that Spotify the whole way home.
Yeah. Trendy.
Yeah, just give him a shout, and then I'll run through these little fucking details things slash ping pong it off you a little. No puns intended.
Gotcha. All right. Sounds good, man. Here we go. What's up, everybody? How's every... Oh, shoot. Hold up. My fault. God damn. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy and Mike. I hope everybody's having a great day. We're really excited. We got a new intro music this afternoon. It's by Trendy. So we really appreciate him. Funky beat. Real like it. We also are looking at, going into a few different things today about the draft. And, you know, Mike, what are some of the things we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, it's a random Tuesday pod. Typically, we're Thursday, Sunday, but we're giving you guys a little bit of Tuesday wet the appetite for the old lottery conversation. It's on 8:30 on ESPN, which I believe is a little later than it typically starts. Back in the day, it was 25% for the number one pick, and then it smoothed its way down 2, 3, 4. I think the second pick was like 20, and then the third pick was like 17, but everyone in the top three is a 14% pick and a 52% chance at the top four. So they weighted it as in top three can't necessarily fall out of the top there kind of thing, but they all have a little bit less of a chance at the top overall pick. So your Bulls actually have a chance, a little one, which they kind of need it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something right now that, you know, just watching the Bulls and the moves that they made this, you know, before the deadline, you know, as a Bulls fan, obviously it's something you're excited to see, just because we don't make moves ever, nor do we make moves, at the deadline, you know. So that was exciting to kind of see that from new management. However, you know, kind of the contracts that we picked up, it's like you got Vooch. You know, and what are we going to do with that? What's our plan to move forward with that? You got, you know, an expiring contract with Zach. You know, what are we going to do with that? It's like we have a lot of decisions that we need to make, and there's a lot of there's some free agent, you know, some pretty good free agent point guards that are out there, you know, this year that can impact and help any roster. You know, that, you know, you got Kyle Lowry that's out there. You got Lonzo Ball that's out there. You know, so there's some, you know, some guards that can really make an impact that the Bulls can, you know, consider taking a look at.
You might be able to take Philly's scrap heap Ben Simmons off the top.
I saw an article on that, Mike, and that would be phenomenal. I would love it, you know. you know, because it just, you know, Kobe is a great player, man. And what's so great about him is that he's not selfish. You know, and he just needs a guy, though, that can kind of distribute a little bit more for him. And Ben would be phenomenal for us. So, you know, I would love to see a move, you know, made. I would like to see what we're going to do with Vooch. I would love to see us make a move with that. You know, even if it has to something, you know, if it's in the future, if it's a year down the line, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you know how the league's changing, man. There's not many, you know, fives that are, you know, post that type of game. Like, what the hell is
Yeah, it's interesting with Vooch, and you know, you already had Lauri Markkanen there, a young guy. That trade kind of limited you a little bit in terms of you gave up Wendell Carter, a good piece that would have been nice to package in a more impactful trade, not a trade to make a trade kind of trade. And you also gave up the first round pick so for 2021 and 2023. which is top four protected this year. So you guys are, you guys won the tiebreaker of the Pelicans and the Kings for the eighth slot, which is huge to get those couple of percentage points. But if you don't end up top four, it just goes to the Magic and you end up with nothing in the first round this year. You get as much as my C's are about to get in the first round this year. So I don't know, man. I'm going to be a Bulls fan for the next 24 hours for sure, hoping that you guys pull some Magic out of here. But I want Cade Cunningham in Chicago or Jalen Suggs or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know how you give up two first-rounders and Wendell Carter in a trade that you essentially just – Okay, Vucevic.
It was an odd trade, and all of you know, just the style of play, like, and all the players that were traded within that trade, the Bulls ended up getting the guy that doesn't fit anybody's style anymore, you know. So I don't know. We're gonna see how it goes, man. And with the draft picks, I mean, hell, I might be a Magic fan. I live in Orlando now, and we gave up all of that for, we could possibly get nothing in this draft. Now think about that. And that's terrible for us. Terrible.
Nothing in the draft. Giving up Carter, clogging up the center rotation or the big man rotation for a young star and Lauri Markkanen. You guys got rid of Garpex, but it's almost like Garpex texted that trade in together in a group text with the management over there. That was very Garpaxian to me.
the reason I trusted is because he was with the Thunder and he built that entire franchise.
Yeah.
So now, you know, we're going to trust it. Obviously.
Trust the process. You guys will take that one off Philly's hands.
Not trusting it. Nonsensical process. That was all what I call fake. And fluff so that he could hide behind his own statistics with no real results behind it. So I'm tired of Joel Embiid with all that, you know, and he's ruined Ben Simmons with the process, done messed his mind up. So
wait. It's Joel Embiid's fault that Ben Simmons can't shoot?
Yeah, man. You see his body language towards Ben is terrible. He hates it. Okay, so if you're like kind of just that negative energy as a player, any player knows that stuff, man. You know, got a guy on your team that just doesn't really believe in you, and you're supposed to be a friend. Nah.
That's so funny. I mean, I've been, it's funny you mentioned that. I've been pointing out to Kelly all year, like, yo, watch what Joel gives for looks and body language towards Simmons. He does not like that guy. And that's kind of like a chicken before the egg situation. Like, what came first? Joel being like, get this guy off my team. Like, he's not a winner quite yet, but he hates losing. I don't know if he loves winning, but he hates losing. Like, he seems visibly upset when he loses, and Ben's just like, all right, I'm good. Like, it's cool. I'm still not gonna practice shooting free throws. I'm still gonna tell shooting coaches to piss off. Like, it's so bad. But I mean, it's definitely not working there between those two. I mean, I feel like Philly missed a big window in terms of moving their guy out, moving Simmons out, before this kind of moment in time happened with a playoff collapse like that, because it was kind of inevitable. Like, taking a guy that's $33 million a year and supposed to be an all NBA level player, like, and he can't play the last few minutes of games because he can't shoot free throws for some reason. That's going to be interesting. You guys might be able to make out with a little bit of a steal if you can get Simmons on the cheap there. If you could somehow get Simmons without giving up LaVine, maybe LaVine stays. But I don't know if there's a scenario for that either. Without the picks, like, Wendell Carter and a couple firsts might have been at least a starting point for that trade.
All I know is if they traded that, that's like trading a player for a bag of balls, dude. Like, that's bad. Like, yeah. I love Wendell Carter, great person, I'm sure. But, like, as far as a player, like, super one-dimensional – not even close to the Ben Simmons type. And that's what people got to understand.
Yeah, totally.
7-footer, can pass and do all the things
you need. All defensive player when he's engaged.
You know, and so all this, all the shit, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with it. But it's just, I hope at some point, you know, I hope that we all give Ben the respect that is due, bro. Like, because he's one of my favorite players. Cause people are talking
crazy. Yeah, people are talking so much. I mean, I'm one of them. So you know how the pendulum swings in society. It's always going a little farther than it probably should, and it eventually gets back to the medium, and then it swings the other way farther than it should. Like, maybe Ben Simmons wasn't defensive player of the year, all NBA, like second team or whatever he was a couple of years ago caliber player, but maybe he's also, he's not the bag of balls scrap heap trade like a lot of people are trying to make it sound after this game seven loss versus the Hawks in this couple nights ago. But I just look at guys like you look at a guy I mentioned earlier today, Marcus Smart, Kaizen, kind of going from 25% three-point shooter all the way up to 38, I believe was his highest year. He was a little cooled off this year, like 33 from three, but he couldn't really shoot a three consistently when he came in the league, and now he's at least decent. And Ben seems to have almost done Kaizen the opposite. He's incrementally gotten worse every year at shooting. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing or mindset thing, or if he just legitimately just needs to do what Jordan Resendi said and just get reps, and some more reps. Because that's just like, it's so confusing over there right now in terms of what they're going to do next. Like, the ship, the ship's kind of sailed with Philly, it seems like, in terms of that duo. And I mean, Doc Rivers not doing the GM any favors today when he was asked about, do you think Ben Simmons is like a championship point guard? And he was like, he gave a very wishy-washy, I'm not really sure kind of answer. Let's kind of ask him.
But that answer was tough. And I'm sure, obviously, as if a player sees that, I mean, it's just, doesn't the head coach has much confidence in you.
That relationship's not great.
Watching Joel Embiid's, body language with you on some of these replays that guys are doing. So it's just, it just seems like it's time to make that move. And, what's perfect about Chicago is I think that, we need to make ours as well. I think that for the Bulls that needs to happen, because if they sit on this, man, you could lose Zach for nothing. You don't want to do that. And I know that the Bulls won't want to do that.
So. Yeah, if Zach walks, that's brutal. Especially, like you were saying, trade the 7th overall pick, Wendell Carter, before he turned 22 years old. That's tough. Like you're saying, he's not remotely the caliber of a Ben Simmons, but he's still young. He can develop a little bit. But Simmons is he's all world when he's engaged. Like, I talk a lot of smack against him, but he's so, so good and does some things that you just can't really teach. And size is one of them. But his point guard savvy is pretty gnarly too. Like, I talk all this shit about him, and hey, if the Celtics could find a way to get him on the team, that would be a hell of a lineup to put him next to the Jays, and then little Al Horford, Rob Williams down low wouldn't hurt. Like, that would be quite a group, but. It's going to be fun to watch, though. Who knows? He could move on draft night. I mean, this stuff tends to move quick. Like, he could literally move. July 29th is the draft. June 22nd is tomorrow night, tonight when you're listening to this, and that's the draft lottery. So, we could see serious seismic shifts based on these ping pong balls and where the Bulls are ending up. That could change what they're going to do if they end up top four. I think you should just go with whichever team. If Orlando or Orlando's got a top three chance at the number one pick, so 14% of the number one pick. If they can get Cade Cunningham, you should just switch allegiance to Cade Cunningham show in Orlando with Cole Anthony and company. If the Bulls somehow still end up in the top four and don't have to give up a freaking like a 6th overall pick as part of that Vucevic trade in the aftermath, then stay steady. It's gonna be crazy.
It will, and this draft is one of those where it's gonna set these Bulls back, or it could really propel them. And even the Magic, I know everybody's real high on the Mobley kid, but I mean, heck, imagine if they're able to trade that pick, somebody, and make that move at Ben Simmons for some players. I mean,
if they could get Simmons or Orlando for a top pick,
I know it's small market. I know that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he may not stick or he may not stay, but it would be a thing that the Magic could do to help themselves, bring a crowd, maybe attract a few other players. That team has a chance. But it's just like somebody's got to make a move for him because the dude wants the heck out of Philly.
Definitely. And Simmons kind of needs a new offense. It never really worked with Embiid in terms of their skill sets meshing. Like, and you kind of – Embiid's such a dynamic, like – all world talent that you an offensive just juggernaut that you need to run the offense geared towards him. So you can't really run the offense geared towards Ben and playing them at the same time. Like, doesn't necessarily work all the time, even though it should technically work. I think a new offense, a kind of an offense centered around Ben's strengths with complementary players like Cole Anthony and the young guys they got over there with Jonathan Isaac and company. I believe Wendell Carter's the dude who ended up on the Magic from your Bulls trade. That would be a good mix to kind of build an offense around him potentially. That should be interesting. Another interesting, you know, ping pong ball / tiebreaker scenario that happened to this lottery is OKC has the fourth best odds with after winning the tiebreaker with the Cavs. And OKC kind of has a war chest. They got the 16th pick from the Seas recently in the Kemba Walker Al Horford swap. And they got some young talent in SGA and our guy Lou James Dort. If they're that high in the lottery, they can move up a little bit with some packages of picks. They could just take what's there in terms of like Jalen Suggs slips a little bit.
No, I like OKC a lot. That's why I know we were talking about it a little bit before the show, but you know, this is a team that has the opportunity to make moves, like you said, with the young talent that they have. But they also have a nice little mixture of, you know, some veteran leadership. So whatever move they make, whether they, you know, want to trade to move up in the draft to get some young talent, or if they want to trade down and then pick up some more picks, this is a draft to do it in. You know, this draft is deep, and this is a team that it could either potentially use this draft to be a, you know, a low-level playoff team in a year or two, or they could move, you know, move down a little bit and maybe trade for a player that puts them in the playoffs and they really fight, you know. And they're a team, you know, that's exciting, young. SGA is tough, you know, and he's a player I'm really excited to see what he does this season.
His next leap, it's coming.
Exactly. It is. It really is, you know. And, but, yeah, I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, if they're able to pick at, you know, at this fifth spot and really are able to get it, I mean, that's a steal for them. I mean, shoot, there are so many other teams that are worse that need that pick.
Like the Cavs. so that's where that new rule of the top four are all we're doing tomorrow night or tonight on Tuesday. And top four is all they're doing. So it's going to be, you know, if OKC doesn't get that top four, but it's still, you know, three teams ahead of them with worse records, they have the tiebreaker with the Cavs. So if the Cavs and them are left, they could be fifth. You know, lotteries can be crazy. Like, obviously, you guys got D Rose on a crazy lottery, but lotteries can be so freaking chalk most years. Like, it can be a fun night. It can be a very boring night sometimes. But I love OKC's war chest. And like you're saying, it's a deep draft. I think there's a lot of dudes that are really interesting players in the, you know, like more of the late lottery to end of first, almost kind of like we're looking at guys in the 16 through 28 range that could develop into something. I mean, Josh Giddey is slated into there. You know, you got BJ Boston a little later in there. My guy Charles Bassey is like late first, early second. But that's, I mean, like you're saying, that draft is going to be it's going to be interesting to see how it develops, because there's some dudes in there that probably should be a little higher ranked, I feel like, but they're kind of going a little quiet, a little sleeper. But one team that I think would be interesting in terms of keeping the number one pick in terms of the last few years of potential teams keeping the number one pick, because they actually have a couple guys already, is the Rockets with the number one pick. And if they can keep that, get Cade Cunningham, they already have Christian Wood. I think Christian Wood's bona fide. Like, that dude, I was all in on Christian Wood when he was still in Detroit his last year and ended up in the Rockets. I was like, damn. People are about to find out about Christian Wood real quick when he has nobody around him and it's just Christian Wood do your thing. And they got Jayshon Tate. Like, I don't know if you watched much Jayshon Tate this year. That dude's got a lot of skills. He's got some crazy rebounding ability at the guard slot, and he plays some mean defense. He's got the strongest, longest arms this side of Drew Holiday. He's gnarly. So I think if you put Cade with that young group, that young duo, you know, you're at least building towards something there. And that, so I kind of would like to see the Rockets stay at number one and see what happens after that. But
I love that pick. You know, just even watching, going back and watching his tape, you know, the reads that he's able to make are next level. He's definitely sees the second defenders more so than just worried about the guy in front of him. You know, and to me, he's a clear number one pick. And also, too, what he does a great job is Oklahoma State. Really, they, based on where the ball is, they will run different pick and roll coverages similar to the NBA. And he does a really good job at getting into those different coverages and executing them. You know, his, you know, how hard he plays all the time, you know, isn't always there. However,
yeah, that's freshman stuff.
You know, exactly. All the stuff you guys are going to develop, you know. But you just see that he has a great IQ for the game.
And he gives a shit about it, which definitely. I don't want to go back to Ben Simmons, but do you remember the 2015-2016 LSU team and what the final thing ended up happening with Ben Simmons' college career? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
NIT. They didn't make the NCAA, and they were like, "Oh, we're gonna get an NIT invite." And Ben was like, "The hell we aren't. I'm not going. Good luck."
You know,
so then the whole team said, I guess we're not going. Ben's not going. We ain't going.
Yeah, man. And that's another thing about Ben for you, you know. So his mind always going to be right. Is it going to have, is the show going to stop being just about him, you know?
Yeah. There were some nice, there was one nice prospect on that team, Antonio Blakeney.
Oh, God.
Do you remember him?
Started on Blakeney.
He was a Florida kid, right?
Yeah, he was actually he was in Sarasota first, and then he went came up to here to Oak Ridge, and then after Oak Ridge, that's when he went on to LSU, and stud score, great, you know, but about it. He came to the Bulls. Bulls drafted him. Not drafted, but signed him free agent. You know, he played with the Windy City, scored a career high there, 40 plus game, like stud. Like I'm telling you, averaged 37 a game, like was flat out bona fide the best player in the G League. But just as far as sticking in the NBA, man, it's like
he's been able
to guard, and you got to be able to do something more than just jack shots. You know, I don't know, man. You know, hey, this. All of it's looking crazy, but I will say one thing, you know, just about a draft prospect as far as, you know, somebody with work ethic and the winner's mentality, you know, that those two didn't necessarily possess while they were at LSU is Jalen Suggs. You know, he's the second best player. I don't think that, you know, if Detroit gets it, Detroit should jump on that and don't screw it up like you did with Reggie Jackson. You know, that guy
Reginald
run the show, man. Like, he's gonna help them right away to win games. So
yeah, Detroit has a couple interesting pieces too. They got Sadiq Bey, they got Sekou Dembélé, they got Jeremy Grant. Obviously had a big blow up year this year. Like they have some dudes. Isaiah Stewart also had a big year, big rookie year there. Like they have some really interesting young talent that Detroit hasn't seen in several years. They've been striking out left and right, like you said. So it should be – it could be a big night for Detroit if they slide up one more slot. Add Cade Cunningham to that mix, that's a big-ass team. You can play Cade at the point. I've seen Cade will just bring that ball up every time and doing a little Ben Simmons impersonation as a pure point when he wants to. So he can get a bucket too. You got Jeremy out there. You got, Dumbuya is going to develop. He's obviously a little young and was a little raw this year, but he showed some signs. And Sadiq Bey, man, that dude, he can shoot it. I don't know how people missed on him that hard because he's got some high upside with his measurables and skill that he's kind of showed off in year one out of relatively nowhere. But yeah, no, that should be interesting. But the I don't know. I'm out of words. That's shout out Tim Quarterman. Tim Quarterman, yo, Tim Quarterman should have been Kyle fucking Anderson in the NBA, but Ben Simmons decided to go to Cancun for the NIT tournament, so he didn't get one last showcase. Now he's just chilling somewhere, and we don't know where Tim Quarterman's at.
Yeah, where sure is Tim Quarterman?
I was trying to find out today, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. let me give him a quick Google. Tim Quarterman is currently 26 years old and recently played for Sioux Falls Skyforce in 2020, I guess. But I legit thought he might have a little bit of an NBA career. He's a big old point guard, 6'6", 200 pounds. And I loved his game at LSU. I was so disappointed I didn't get to watch a couple more at NIT.
The worst fucking coach team ever.
Yeah, that's what happens when you hire a coach based on your recruit coming in.
God damn, is he bad.
Wasn't that a Ben Simmons, let's get Ben Simmons to LSU move? Like, let's hire this coach or some shit like that?
Everything was a fucking setup there.
Sometimes that's the nature of recruiting. Sometimes it's just how the NCAA has set up to work, for better or worse.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Josh Giddey. Speaking of Australians, Josh Giddey.
Love Josh Giddey. He's gonna be a stud.
We gotta get you some full game tape of that Australian ball. He plays for the 36ers in Australia, or he did. He's not going to anymore, but he was a 36er, and he looks like a mini Simmons with a jumper. I mean, obviously not quite the defensive player and athlete that Simmons is, a little smaller, but he's creative as hell. He's shifty as hell. He's got tough kind of a mindset. Like, I saw one play where he was on a fast break and dunked, and he landed odd kind of situation where he kind of overswung on the dunk and just ended up landing on his face essentially. And he kind of didn't try to sell it. He got right up and was just like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm bleeding from the mouth. I'm cool. But he's got a wild in and out. He puts people on the floor with his in and out at 6'8" and kind of smooth. And he does some Ben Simmons weird jump passy flying through the lane, attacking, you know, driving kick stuff that I think is going to translate pretty well. And that jumper looks nice. So we'll see what happens with him in the late first. But
is he a righty or what?
Giddey is a righty, I'm pretty positive.
I think he could be tough.
Yeah, no, he might be fun. Maybe that's who OKC gets for that 16th pick if they don't move it, honestly, because I could see him fitting in really well with Shai Gilgeous and Lu Dort. Taking the ball out of Shai's hand a little bit, giving him a little rest with the ball handling situation. But should be interesting. So we got the draft lottery tomorrow night or Tuesday night, and it's going to be at 8:30. And we're going to find out if Andy's a Bulls fan or a Magic fan by the end of it, pretty much.
Yeah, this is a big thing. Big night for me. Big night for me. This could end a relationship with the Bulls that has been since that Jordan era. Might be time, maybe a little midlife crisis, if you will. So,
hey, you got to decide. Well, I mean, you got the kids now. You got to decide if you're going to raise them into a life of disappointment with the Bulls or a life of disappointment with the Magic.
Either way, it's all disappointment, bro. Man, let me tell you. Tough thing, and that's why I'm just, you know, being a Bulls fan has been it's been a rough decade. It's been a rough decade for us.
Yeah. I think they'll figure out. I mean, the good thing is Chicago is still a destination and a big market city, a good place for dudes to go play if you don't mind the winter that much. Yeah, but
nobody wants to go there anymore in the winter.
Yeah.
Away anymore, man. I wish there was some sort of way to attract them, but there just is nothing there that you want to do. You just are just dying to be a part of, you know, like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, you want to walk in Jordan's footsteps? You want to follow up? No. Sounds like pressure. Pressure and cold.
Mm-hmm. So, this is looking forward to this draft. Looking forward to seeing where some of these teams pick.
Yeah, this ping pong ball night is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to have a lot more answers and it's going to be a lot easier to figure out who's going to kind of go where and where people fit after Tuesday night. So, yeah, should be good. So we still got a pod dropping Thursday. We'll talk the usual the usual talking shit topics of the week kind of thing. And then Sunday, don't quite have a guest announcement for Sunday. We're still kind of picking exactly who we're going to drop on Sunday. There's a couple of people we might talk to this week that might get that slot. We might have to push them out another week and drop someone else. So we'll see where we go for Sunday, but should be fun either way. Yeah, you got anything else you want to hit before you talk to your favorite shooting coach?
No, not at all, guys. I just want you guys to make sure you follow us, you know, on our social media, on Twitter at BYRP365. You know, that's where we post our updates on the pod, and also connect with others that are out there in the, you know, on the social media webosphere. So you can also get a hold of us at ballyearroundpod@gmail.com, you know, for any needs, any questions, you know, or any suggestions that you may have. So again, guys, thank you. And I look forward to seeing everybody and talking with everybody again on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy the trendy outro.